So here in Psalms 119, in verse 9, I've been thinking about recently what makes it so difficult sometimes for a young man to receive instruction. Because I've been there. And as I thought of that, I thought of my own life, and I would like to share kind of a two-part thing. One is a bit of instruction from the Word, and the second part is a bit of my own journey in finding myself in some of this. I was intrigued with Ecclesiastes, our reading in there this morning. The in the last chapter, in chapter 11, in verse 9, and I hadn't found this verse before this morning. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee to judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth our vanity. And then the very next verse, chapter 12 and verse 1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And part of this is difficult for me because there's a lot of my years of youth that was my testimony. I have no pleasure in them. My testimony today of those youthful years, I have no pleasure in them. So, young people, or all really, I want you to know that the reason I share these things is not, you know, I used to really struggle with, you know, the dad or the preacher that come and would try to admonish, and you know what, you just got a stiff upper lip, you need to relax, you know, you're too stoic, you're just a killjoy, you're just here to destroy a fun life, and shouldn't I be able to have fun, can't I go with my friends, can I do the things I want? And I'm not saying that everyone that comes to you has come in the name of the Lord. I'm not saying that everyone that came to me came in the name of the Lord. But I am saying they had my best interest in mind. And I don't know how to convey that this morning except to say that when I can learn from someone else, I don't have to make their mistake. So that really is my passion. That's the core of what I want you to hear today. I really enjoy the Sunday school where we talk about confession being an agreement. And I really would like to spend some time talking about that. When you confess, Romans tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So how can I agree with the Lord Jesus? Number one, agree that he is Lord. He is Lord of lords and he's King of kings. Number one, first and foremost, I need to agree with God and say yes. I recognize I'm not the king of my life. I recognize he is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is sovereign. He is righteous. He is just. He is just in his judgment. He is just in his wrath. And I agree with God. He is righteous in his mercy. He is long-suffering. There's all these what we call attributes of God that we attribute to his nature and character. It's who he is. We say God is love. God is just. It's not him being love. It's not him being just. That's who he is. So as a foundation, and we talked about Christ being the Word, Word being Christ. In the beginning was the Word. You know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 says, John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And there's nothing that was made that wasn't made with the Word. And Hebrews tells us that Christ is the express image of the Father. Everything about God was demonstrated in the person of Jesus Christ. God, in times past, who in sundry times and diverse manners spoke to us by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Jesus went away, and everything has been recorded. John said, if everything would have been written down in the books, if the sky were a scroll and all the ocean were ink, there wouldn't be enough room to write down everything that Christ did. But here's a piece of it. What are the chances of God being wrong? There's one thing I want you to get. One thing that if you don't get this, you won't get the rest of it. It does not exist. God cannot be wrong. God cannot lie. If you do not have a sound place to put your faith, your absolute trust and confidence, you'll never be saved. You'll never continue to walk in victory. You'll never, ever enter into the kingdom of Christ if you cannot absolutely believe that God was right every time He said something. How else could the Bible make the statement that a young man can cleanse his way by taking heed according to the Word of God? What is so cleansing about the Word? Now, and you're going to hear me say young man a lot, and I want you to understand, young man, young lady, and I want you to understand all, okay? I think the reason the Bible points out young man, the reason it says young man is because there's young men who, the Bible says they're among the simple. Doesn't mean stupid, it just means unlearned. Okay? It's just, there's something about, you know, I love business, and I love talking to people who have done well in business. And I like these people who have retired, and I like to sit down with them and say, tell me what you've learned. You know, what would you tell me what one thing could you tell me that I need to do? Well, definitely do this. Or what's one thing you would do different? And their face falls, and they say something they would have done different. That's called receiving instruction. If I receive that instruction, that's one pitfall I don't have to make in the world of business. How much more when it concerns the state of your soul? How much more? Turn with me to Proverbs in chapter 1. And I want you to follow along to some of these things again, because I want you to see that this is God speaking. This is not some fanatic who's got an opinion, who's got an agenda. This is God trying to reveal His heart to His people. You know, I love it. Irvin put out this question, or Aaron maybe, about, you know, what does it mean about sanctifying God in our hearts? That really, really put some my wheels a-turning in my mind. And I had to think of, and you saw my response, but I had to think of Moses when he was barred from the promised land because he did not sanctify God among the people. God is a jealous God. God has Jesus came, He established a church, He left, and He said, now I'm going to put My name here. It's up to you. It's up to you to preach the gospel. It's up to you to demonstrate to the principalities and powers by manifold wisdom. It's up to you, church, to show the demons and the angels, which our eyes can't see, by the way, most of the time, God's manifold wisdom. You know, there's certain things that God will not do for you. God said, I have given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Doesn't mean he's going to open your mouth and spoon feed you. You need to receive and believe. What does it mean when the Bible says, take every thought captive in the obedience of Jesus Christ? God's not going to do that for you. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against flesh and blood, but rather against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. There are certain things that God is saying, I want you to do. You're a soldier. We're a soldier. We're part of an army. God's our general. He's given us marching orders, and there's a few things he has enabled us. He's given us all the armor that we need, offensive and defensive weapons. God will take care of our enemy, and we're to take care of his enemy. Anyway, I'm going to get carried away on some of that. So, Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now that word subtle or subtlety can mean shrewd in a negative way, but it can also simply mean shrewdness as in knowledge to act wisely. So the simple, the one who is unlearned, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now, with this thought in mind about receiving instruction, in verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb, the interpretation, the words of the wise and of the dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know what? For a good many years, I was a fool. There were people who came to me with wisdom and instruction, and I despised it. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son. Now, in the next verses here, so there's this admonition, young man. There's this admonition about what to do if sinners entice you. Hey, we've hatched up this plot. Let's go kill somebody. Let's go steal something. And you read it. Come with us. Let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without a cause. And we're going to find all their precious substance in verse 13. And we're going to fill our houses with the spoil. Cast your lot in among us. Does that sound like peer pressure? Come on, guys. Let's go out and tear it up. I've been there. I've been on both sides of that. I've been in the presence of peer pressure, and I have created peer pressure. My son, in verse 15, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Don't go there. Do you understand? Do we understand the power of association? You show me your five friends you spend the most of your time with, and I can write a synopsis of your character, your intelligence. I don't care if you're a young man, young lady, old man. It's a part of who we are. We associate that we cannot hang out with buzzards and not eat dead stuff, all right? Is that plain enough? I mean, this morning, the last two mornings, I got up and it was just as the sun was just, there was just some gray in the sky, and I happened to see, oh, there's a hummingbird. And I'm fascinated with this little hummingbird. So delicate, so fine. Only the sweetest things will do. You know what? You don't find hummingbirds and buzzards hanging out. They have different diets, different likes, different patterns. They're as opposite as opposites can be. Hummingbird flaps its words, its wings, how many times per second? And a buzzard can soar for hours without moving a wing. I'm just saying, there's all these different things, but the power of association is great. It's not just some stoic or surly dad that says, you got bad friends. That's not the way it works. Because my dad understood the influence that friends could have on me. And then in verse 20 in Proverbs 1, wisdom crieth without and uttereth her voice in the streets. And then in verse 22, how long, you simple ones, how long will you love simplicity or ignorance? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Wisdom is desperately saying, tune in. I'll save you some grief. Turn over to Proverbs 7. My son, in verse 1, Proverbs 7 and verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. I think Psalms 119 again tells us that thy word have I hid in my heart, that, or in order to, so that I might not sin against thee. Thy word. If we don't know the word, how will we not sin against thee, against God? Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Now, I don't know, and you may have heard me say this, but I don't know what you think of when you think of the apple of your eye. But I'll tell you what I think of. Your eyeball is round and smooth. And it is probably the most protected part in your body. It is the fastest reflex that you have. You can blink when something comes flying at your eye. You're going to protect your eyes at all cost. If you keep something as the apple of your eye, as your eyeball, you have that thing and you're going to protect it. Your hands, you're going to flinch, you're going to turn, you're going to blink. There's all these defense mechanisms to where you're going to protect it. And then if something does get in, it waters and you rub and carry on to try to get it out so you can see again. Keep the law so much so that you're so jealous of it that you're going to guard it at all cost. Store it up. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And then he gives this story. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and I beheld among, here it is again, the simple ones. The simple, the unlearned. I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding. That means he was lacking understanding. And we find where this harlot came out. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went in the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black, in the dark of night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. And she caught him and kissed him. And because he didn't know any, because he didn't have this knowledge, and he didn't act on the knowledge he had, he was taken down. And the verse, and it goes on down to say that, and he goeth, in verse 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter. And he doesn't know that her house is the way to hell. Till a dart strikes through his heart. until it's too late. For she has cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men. Get that. Wisdom is better than strength. Strength will not keep you. Wisdom will. Knowledge, instruction will keep you. You know, men can take everything away from you. They can even make you weak. They can starve you to death to where you become weak. They cannot take your wisdom. Her house is the way to hell, going down in the chambers of death. Psalms 119 and verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. This morning we were discussing light and darkness. When we walk in darkness, all of a sudden there's an illumination. There's knowledge that comes in. We talked about being sanctified. We talked about being washed by the water of the word. There's certain things that continue to happen. All of a sudden, light shines on a particular area of my life, and I say, you know what? I need to separate myself from that because I have just received some instruction. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. How much more plain can it get? The law of God is that which brings transformation in the heart of a person. It's the law that all of a sudden we are faced with that says, wow, I'm a criminal in the court of God. And there is no pardon. I can't fix myself, except that we have a mediator. So we talked about this thing of agreements, and I want you to think about this, where when we confess, we agree with God. So in your mind, imagine that we go to one place to make an agreement with God, or we go to another place and make an agreement with the devil. So when God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I say, yes, Lord, I agree with you. When God says, there is none righteous, no, not one, and then I agree with God. I say, yes, I agree with you. And when God says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and again, I agree with God. And God says, if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved, and I agree with God. You see where I'm going with this? We're simply agreeing with what God already said. We make this agreement. But what happens when I come? Now, Satan is the father of lies. Every lie that comes originates with the devil. When he says, well, it's not that bad. I mean, after all, everyone else is doing it. Well, no one will notice. Or it's a small thing. It's not worth it. Nobody likes you anyway. Matter of fact, I'd be better off dead. So you understand how when you make an agreement, when you make an agreement with the devil, it is called sin. And every sin has a consequence, always. So how does this change the way I look at things when God is putting, God says, I put before you life and death. Choose life that you may live. What's my response? You know, salvation really isn't complicated. It's not that difficult. You simply have to be honest with God and believe what He said. When you're honest with God and you believe what He said about you, you're honest and you agree with God that, yes, God, I have sinned. Yes, God, I have violated your high and holy law. Yes, God, that thing that I did was sin. And then I believe. And then Christ can come in through faith and change us. In John 8:32, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the people there, they were indignant. "What do you mean, be free? We were never in bondage to any man," they said, as they were under Roman rule. But you know what? I remember me wrestling with that verse. As a new Christian, I looked at that, and I came across that, and I said, "You know what, God? One of the two of us is a liar. You said the truth will make us free, and I'm not free." But do we believe? Can we simply believe that God meant what He said? Because God, the chances of God being wrong are what? Zero. Does not exist. So obviously God meant what He said. If you know the truth shall make you free. So the question I had to ask myself was, what truth do I not know that I'm not free yet? The problem was not that I didn't white-knuckle it enough or grit my teeth enough. The problem was there was a truth that I was not agreeing with. Proverbs 4. Turn there, and I'll read a couple, several verses out of there again. Let's start in verse 20. There's just so much here, but we don't have time for all of it. Verse 20. "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So I ask you the question, how do you keep your heart? It doesn't say God's going to do that for you. It says you are to keep your heart with all diligence. How do you do diligence in keeping your heart? Verse 1 there says, "Hear the instruction of a father, attend to no understanding. I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law." This, I think, is where it lies. Adhering to the law of God. And boy, you say, "Boy, you really like law." Well, you know what? It's not my law, it's God's law, all right? You know what? I'm very unapologetic about the law. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We do not live under the law, but the law is a means whereby we come to salvation. And by the way, the Bible says that all the law is fulfilled in us. Did you know that? But it's in context, and we'll not look at that today. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." I defiled my temple for years. And you know, I was one of those smoking Christians that Delbert referred to this morning. You know what? One day I got born again. But you know what? I was still yielding my members as servants of iniquity. How does it say it in Romans 6? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? I was still yielding my members unto sin. But it goes on to say, but God be thanked! Those of you who were there, but you're not, now you're living in righteousness. But then we make excuses and we say, well, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm just a saint who sins occasionally, or I'm, you know, as long as I'm in this body. Stop it. Stop making excuses. Stop trying to figure out why you're living in sin. Stop. And simply allow God to say what He said. You are justified. You are sanctified. That's who you are. That's what God said about it. Move over into a place where you can agree with God. Anything else is sin. Any other agreement is sin. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless, 1 Thessalonians tells us. Your body blameless? Are you kidding? No, God's not kidding. Okay, it's the Word. We have got to believe what God said. Stop trying to say, well, I don't feel like it. You know what? In my life, there was a time I lived for myself in its entirety. I had parents who loved me, but they were just a rule to get around. So then I had to lie to cover up the rule that I broke. And then I wanted to live for myself, and things became worse and worse, and I continued to defile my life, and I continued to sow to the flesh. But you know what? I met a man one day. Actually, I don't know. I don't have time for the whole story, but I was a slave to many things. I cheated, I stole, I lied, I drank, slept around, just you name it. I was a vile criminal before God. And one day my alcohol took me to a cell. And I remember laying on a metal frame, a cot with a metal frame, and four walls of concrete block around me and a metal door behind me. And I turned my face to the wall and I laid there and thinking, I stared at those concrete blocks thinking, what am I doing here? There has got to be a better way to live. But you know what? I got out and I was just like the sow. They cleaned me up. They scrubbed the mud off me. You know what pigs do? They're true to their nature. They go back in the mud. That was me. Back in the mud. I didn't have a change of nature. I still was being a pig. I wasn't doing a pig. Does that make sense? You live in a body. You possess a soul, but you be a spirit. So there's this three-part being, and you know what? My inner man had not, salvation, light had not come. So just like a dog that returns to its vomit, such I did. And it's interesting because one night I was introduced to a man, and he sat down with me with this little pamphlet, and I still have this, kind of like my birth certificate, I guess. I'm just always going to hang on to it. But anyway, that on the front it said, Steps to Peace with God. And for the first time, the light came on. I don't know if it came on, if I received it or what, but the first time it came on. And if there's one thing that I took away from that, it's this. You do not have to change to come to Jesus. You can't fix yourself. You can't clean yourself up. I had people tell me for years, get away from your friends. Come back to church. Just do what they want you to do. It didn't work. I still had the nature of a pig. I still lived like it. But when life came in, when the sun set you free, you're free. I became free. But you know what? I simply had to believe. Now, what I want to say about that little book, I wrote my name in there and I put a date in there. August 29, 2004. And the reason that's in my mind so clearly is this. Do you know how often I had to go back there and remind me and the devil? Now, that sounds pretty elementary, but I did. You know you're not saved. You didn't mean that. That was dumb. I mean, you were silly. You cried. That was... You mean you did that last night and you're a Christian? That was a joke. And here I had the opportunity to come over here and make some agreements with the devil. But you know what? It's in times like that, the Bible transcends our feelings. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. When what comes out of your mouth is life, when what comes out of your mouth is that which God said. And I had to go back time and time again and say, devil, listen here. I have been planted into the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been raised a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I didn't feel like it. But God said it, and I said, devil, I am choosing to agree with God. And by the way, devil, because of that, I'm not going to yield my members as instruments of unrighteousness anymore. Is it making sense? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? But by taking heed to the Word of God. You've got to get the Word of God. It's got to come alive. I don't care if you don't understand it. Get it in you. It has life in itself, whether you comprehend it or not. I don't mean to say that just recklessly, but I'm saying get it in you. Search it out. Search for it more than silver or gold, more than building a business, more than finding a wife or a spouse. Search for it. Pursue it and own this thing. I can tell you, I never, ever had as much time in my life to search the Scriptures as before I was married. Now it's a whole lot more of a discipline. And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, that set a foundation from my life that would have taken much more effort had I had a spouse and children surrounding me. Now, the good thing is, not only that I had a foundation laid, now I have somewhat to impart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Ezekiel 11, in verse 18 through 21, and they shall come thither, and they shall take away the detestable things and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances. Here it is. We don't like to-dos. But God didn't put a stony heart out of you and a heart of flesh into you for you to continue in sin. that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances to do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord. God's pretty serious about what we do. Now, I don't want to get the cart in front of the horse. God's not saying, now clean up your act. He's saying, I put a heart inside of you, a brand new heart. Now out of that heart is going to come a heart of obedience. Out of that heart is going to come a new way of living, a new action. And on back to Ezekiel 36 in verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water on you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. And from your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and to keep my judgments, and to do them. Does God expect us to be holy? Yes. Can you be holy in your own? No. Is God impressed with your holiness? No. We are not saved by works, lest any man should boast. It is by the grace of God. It is a gift. You cannot earn it. There's nothing you can do that will impress God enough. However, we obey not in order to be saved. We obey because we are saved. I can look, we all can look at people and know what they believe by how they're living. Is that fair to say? Because the actions that we see coming out of them are bearing witness to the core belief of who they are. If they still believe that they're a pig, they're going to act like a pig. Well, no, but I'm on the way to heaven. Okay. Jesus in Psalms and 10, I'm going to get to it. Psalms 106. Jesus, or God was speaking of the children of Israel, and he said, and he's talking about how they were, it gives the whole story of them getting out of Egypt and moving towards the promised land. In verse 24, it says, yea, they despised the pleasant land and believed not his word. The pleasant land being the promised land. Now, I'm sure if you'd have walked through the camp and they just said, where are you going? Oh, we're going to Canaan. Do you despise that place? Well, no, no, no. So why aren't you there? Are you seeing what I'm saying? Well, I mean, are you seeing what I'm saying? Do we see this today? We walk through the camp and, yeah, I'm going to heaven. So why are you living like the devil? Well, I'm saved. My works don't count. You know what? I've been born again. My spirit has been made whole. Is that too hard? God said of the children of Israel that they despised his word. They despised the land where they were going. It was evident because of how they were acting. When God reveals sin, when light comes in, and God reveals sin in our life, we have the opportunity to repent. Repentance is a gift that God extends to us. Count it, receive it as such. Let's humble ourselves and agree with God. So, just in closing, I want to leave a thought with you. Sin is not the issue of right and wrong as much as it's the issue of who am I agreeing with. And I submit to you, let's run things through that filter. Rather than asking, why can't I, or what's wrong with it? Let's start asking, who said that? Can I come over here and identify with God? Did God say that? Well, what's wrong with it? Did God say that? Did the father of lies say that? And suddenly it begins to look differently, because now it's not, well, what's wrong with it? I love music to this day. I loved it most all of my life, as early as I can remember. I loved country. I loved rock. I loved pop. I loved hip-hop. You name it. You know what? I can still hear those songs 20 years later, and I can sing verbatim. They are stored in the file cabinet of my memory. When I got born again, God set me free. And I'm like, oh, okay, now I need some life. So I flip on the radio, and I need some life. And, well, the words sound good, but life? I got delivered from that stuff. Notice my nature changed. I'm not going back, because I'm no longer the pig. Not going back. So I could say, well, what's wrong with it? It makes me feel good. It worships God. The question is, who said that? And I use this as an example in my own life. I'm not trying, I'm not your Holy Spirit. As you get in the Word, as you wrestle with God, then God brings life. And then we can begin to say, God, what wilt thou have me to do in every area of our life? There's much more I could say, but I think I'll stop with that. I just really, really want you to hear that we are going to cleanse our ways by knowing the Word. And you know what? When I read a paragraph and two verses in the morning, and then I say, okay, I've got that behind me, now I'm off to work, am I really knowing the Word? And I don't mean to be critical. You know what? There's life in two verses. I get that. But how desperately do you want what God has for us? How desperately do you want the life that's more abundant, life that's full and free? There were times when I stumbled home at night. I was born again, by the way. I'd prayed to receive Christ, but I was a wreck. And I fell on my face and I said, God, my conscience smote me. I was in a desperate place. God, this is not what I want to be. But you know what? When you get desperate with God, God shows up. I love what Jacob did when he wrestled with the angel, and the angel said, look, let me go. I've got to go. And he said, I'm not letting go of you until you give me a blessing. It's where life happens. Get desperate with God and ask for a blessing. Make a demand with God. When I say a demand, a check. Did you know that when you write a check, that's a demand? That is a demand that my bank takes funds from my account and puts it in your account. It's a demand. It's not an unreasonable demand. It's simply a demand on something that's there. Make a demand on what's there. Go to God and say, God, the Son's going to set you free. You're free indeed. I want to be free. Does that make sense? Make a demand. Write a check on the bank account of heaven on what God said to be true. And make an agreement and say, yes, Lord. Stop believing lies and agreeing with lies. Anyway, I must close. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you today that you're a good God. Thank you that you're long-suffering. God, we know it's your long-suffering, that it's because of that that people are called to repentance, and because of that I wasn't consumed in your wrath. It's because of that that I'm a new creature today. It's because of that that everyone who has named the name of Christ is a new creature. Thank you that old things are passed away and behold, all things have become new. Thank you that we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of Jesus. God, we say thank you. God, would you come and make this real in our hearts again? God, we think of the verse that says, wilt thou not come and revive us again, O Lord? God, we need a fresh revival, a fresh understanding, a fresh being gripped with the reality that your word is what it says. And God, if we could make that come alive in our own hearts, how we would transform our towns, our workplaces, our acquaintances, because you would look good. People would look in at us and say, whatever you got, it's genuine, it's real. God, could you come and do that? Enable us. Give us your grace. Father, we love you and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.